this. Psalm 62. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. We have an incredible prayer team behind the scenes who covers us in prayer. And this week, as they sent me an email, because I was up here today, to say they were praying for me, my heart was so incredibly blessed by the things that they pray for on our behalf, for the hearts that they bring to prayer so that we can be together to worship God. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord together today, whether it's here in person or online. I'm Ruth Esau. I'm a member here at Bonavista, and I'm an ordained minister with the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada, which is our denomination. I'm also privileged to be an author and to get to talk to people about what it means to keep growing when God has blessed them with leadership skills. As we come together, yes, thank you to the prayer team, but I am so aware of the many people that make this time a precious time. Thank you for all of those of you who are behind the scenes, for those of you who have the camera working, the mic working. We can't hear God's word if the microphone's not working. It's a holy volunteer service role. I want to say thank you to Ned for last week, how he laid out for us this theme we're following out of the book of James, and how he gave us such a great picture of the truth of God's word and what it means to us in our everyday lives. Am I a contradiction to the gospel? Or am I an invitation to the gospel? That's the thought I have been pondering as I have prepared for today. Am I a contradiction or an invitation to the gospel? James is a wide sweeping letter to the Jewish Christians who are living in Gentile communities outside of Palestine. And it is also to Christians everywhere. The book of James addresses practical Christian living. One of his concerns in chapter 2 was how we as Christians, professed lovers of Jesus, contradict the gospel with the way we live our lives. James begins by talking about prejudice, favoritism, discrimination, the way we weigh and measure others, often in comparison to ourselves. This is a topic I get to work with in leadership development. And even those who do not know Jesus find this a compelling and dynamic conversation. But we're not going there today. We're going to talk out of James 2, 14 to 26, that Suzanne read for us. We find here a theological discourse on the connection between faith and good deeds. This is where the question came from that I've been pondering. Am I a contradiction or an invitation to the gospel? The key verse to the book of James is found in chapter 2. So, do you see it isn't enough to have faith? Faith that does not express itself by good deeds is not faith at all. It is dead and useless. Now, some may argue some people have faith and some people have good deeds. James said, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds. But I will show you my faith by my good deeds. This is the powerful and life-changing combination of faith and good deeds working together in our lives. This summer, we talked about good deeds as we worked through the book and the acronym BLESS. And these good deeds were about our heart, our hands and feet and voice of Jesus in our neighborhoods, with our neighbors, in our communities. Today, I want to focus our good deeds within our church community, the Church Buena Vista. I want to think together what it means to serve one another, to have good deeds and faith here where we worship together, to grasp that faith, discipleship, volunteering are all closely intertwined when we love Jesus. We're compelled to ask ourselves in this context, how am I being a contradiction? Or how am I being an invitation to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, let's think together with James and a few other voices in Scripture. In James 2:12, he refers to the law of love, the law that will set you free. That one kind of caught my attention. I thought the law was in the Old Testament and that grace was in the New Testament. And yet in Mark 12, 28 to 31, we see this a little more clearly as Jesus addresses the most important commandments and gives us an understanding of what this law of love that James refers to is all about. One of the teachers of the religious law was standing there, listening to the discussion. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment. There is no greater law. The law of love, love for God, love for ourselves, love for others. This law of love, I want to share four foundational principles about. The first one is that all of us are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 speaks of our creation in His image, which is more than just a physical resemblance. We were created with a soul. So God created people in His own image. God patterned them after Himself. Male and female, He created them. I remember the day that this took on fresh meaning to me. I had been serving as a pastor and had found so much of my life had become focused within the church walls. I had forgotten the example of my upbringing that spread far beyond the church walls. I had taken a mini vacation with a friend to San Francisco. And if you have ever been there, you know the myriad of homeless people, of buskers, of people looking for something more than what they have. They're on every corner. I will admit, I was quite taken by the number of people that were asking for help. And yet, in hindsight, I realize I was quite oblivious to them being God's precious creation. I was intrigued as my friend looked each one that we passed in the eye. And she greeted them, and she acknowledged their ask. She would say something like this, "I am so sorry because I do not have anything to give you today." I watched as a light appeared in their eyes, and the common reply they gave back was, "Thank you. God bless you," as they looked her in the eye. What struck me was my friend's ability to honor the humanity of each person created in the image of God. She demonstrated to me so I could understand in a fresh way that all of us were created in the image of God. And she clearly dispelled any belief that only those who love Jesus were created in his image. And so for me, to give those I meet the dignity of looking them in the eye, to acknowledge their humanity as created in the image of God, and that we share this space of earth together, was what I needed to see and hear then. Created in his image with a soul, we were all there once long ago. Well, some of us longer than others, before we ever knew God or his purposes for our life. This is where the first verses of the chapter two of James are addressed as we consider discrimination, favoritism, prejudice, because we are all created in the image of God. And for those of us who love Jesus, we discover the difference in our recreation. In Ephesians 2:10, we find Paul speaking of our spiritual recreation. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good deeds he planned for us long ago." Ah, a similar message to James. Created for faith and good deeds. We were all created in God's image. And then we, all of us, were invited to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Jesus' desire is that all who were created in his image would come to know him. Jesus also invited people to not just know him, but to follow him. In Mark 1:17 to 19, we see this is how he gathered his disciples. As Jesus was just walking along the shoreline, he saw two fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew. Jesus called out to them, "Come and be my disciples, and I will teach you how to fish for men." Then he saw James and John mending their boats, and he called them. Jesus calls out to us and invites us into a personal relationship with himself in the midst of our daily lives. That is also where and when he continues to invite us and call us to a life of obedience. What a privilege it is to be invited into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we discover we are commissioned to accomplish his kingdom purposes. When we accept the invitation to a personal relationship with Jesus, he commissions us with a call that is for us, but is so much greater than us. Years ago, I took a course at the Southern Baptist Seminary, and my instructor for that course was Henry Blackaby. The course was Unfolding the Gospels for Pastors. I will never forget the awe I felt as this man stood in front of us and with not a note went from one end of Scripture to the other. I was inspired. I wanted to know my Bible that well. Then he asked us a question. He actually closed up his Bible and he held it close to his heart. And he quoted what we call the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. He then paused, and he looked many of us straight in the eye. Well, at least I felt he was looking me straight in the eye. And he asked this question. If you as pastors are to teach your people all that Jesus taught his disciples in his short time on earth, how well do you know what Jesus taught? Blackaby then said, if you want to know where to start, read all the verses in red in your Bible. I felt this deep hunger light up inside of me and a deeper wondering. If I wanted to say that I love Jesus, that I wanted to know him more, that I knew what he taught, that I wanted to know it changed my faith into action and good deeds, that I wanted to know how it would change my attitudes and thoughts and beliefs or life, and then to be able to teach that to the people he gave me to lead, then I better get into the red print of the gospel. Wow, that sent me on a challenging summer of devouring the Gospels like I never had before, to become familiar with what Jesus taught, and also to see what I was not living up to. It wasn't a legalistic search. It was a heart and soul-filling search to know and understand the heart of this man, Jesus, who gave his all for me and cared enough to teach me if I was willing to learn and grow in his ways. Commissioned by God, all of us, no matter what our role or our gifting. And then we are anointed to experience the ongoing presence and wisdom of God through the power of his Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2:20, John reminds the believers, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and all of you know the truth. When we have Jesus, we have the fullness of his Holy Spirit, just as Jesus did, in order to be and do what God has called us to be and do. Acts 10:38, Peter says, and no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good deeds and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. We too have been created, invited, commissioned, and anointed to live lives that glorify God and edify the church? I can't get that question out of my head. Am I a contradiction or an invitation to the gospel? James' call to pursue both our faith and good deeds is compelling. And I want to speak about it a little bit in the light of our life here together at Bonavista. As I have pastored, one of my greatest joys has been to see the hunger in others to honor their Lord and to choose lives of obedience, expressed in their faith and good deeds, even when it was uncomfortable. And it's been my responsibility and privilege to equip and walk with those who want to develop their serve and to hone their good deeds based on their faith. So I will admit this is a little bit of the teacher in me that I pray inspires your hearts and hands and feet to see volunteerism in a different or a fresh light. Created, invited, commissioned, and anointed are all a part of a foundation for a strong and vibrant volunteer-serving community. Volunteering is different for us when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because it's about God's purposes lived out in who He has created us to be and to do. It's about our service to our audience of one, our Lord, first of all, and then to one another. We are privileged to work for kingdom purposes that will change lives for eternity. And I want to differentiate a little bit between volunteering and service. I want to be clear that I believe in volunteering. I have met so many amazing people outside the church walls who long to make our world a better place in a way that they know best and are passionate about. The difference is that for many of them, they have not yet come to know Jesus in a personal way. His presence, commissioning, and anointing are not present in their work. And yet their work is needed, it is honorable, and it makes our world a better place. I believe that in the church, we are called to do what is way beyond ourselves. And because of our personal relationship with Jesus, His commissioning and anointing makes a difference in not just making our world a better place, but it makes a difference for eternity. And it is our privilege and our responsibility when we say we love Jesus and follow Him. Well, what makes the difference between serve and volunteering? First of all, who we serve. Jesus tells us in the book of John that God is always at work and that Jesus only did what His Father told Him to do. In the book of Acts, we read how as Jesus prepared to return to His Father, God poured out His Holy Spirit on the believers to equip and empower them to do His work. We serve a God who created, invited, commissioned, and anointed us. And in 2 Timothy 3:17, we see it is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Well, what makes a difference in serve and volunteerism? How we have been gifted to serve. In 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and other passages, we read about the gifts of God's Holy Spirit given to glorify God and edify the body of Christ. And there's two kinds of servers. There's servant equippers who live a lifestyle evangelism as well as preaching about Jesus and teaching people to find new life in Christ. They help new believers become established in their faith. They equip believers to live out their faith and continually strive to be like Christ. They have servant equipping gifts. And we learn about these gifts. They are the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And in Ephesians 4:12, we read, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God. The second type of gifting, they are servant practitioners who they live a lifestyle of evangelism, which may mean they use their words to win others to Christ, but they may not. They live Christ's life with others. They help new believers become established in the faith, and they serve people directly by using their gifts. So these servant practitioners have gifts like mercy, healing, giving, administration, help, serving, encouragement, wisdom, and faith. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 4-7, we read, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we're serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who works through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us as a means of helping the church. Finally, our serving differs from volunteerism by what the Holy Spirit produces in us as we serve. In Galatians 5, we read that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, producing fruit that is about our character and our motives becoming more Christ-like. As our faith and our good deeds come together, we grow to be more like Christ Jesus in our thoughts and our attitudes and our behaviors. And in this light, I still ponder that question, am I a contradiction to the gospel or am I an invitation to the gospel? How our faith and good deeds come together as we serve each other at Bonavista. We stand on the cusp of a new season of ministry and opportunity. We serve a Redeemer God. A God who continually invites us into his heart, his purposes, and his ways. And if we happen to be people here today or online who have leadership gifts, we can ask ourselves, how am I working with others and pouring into them? How am I equipping and empowering them by using my servant heart towards them? And if we are people with practitioner gifts, how am I working directly with people to encourage them and bless them? And for all of us, we can ask ourselves, how are our faith and good deeds coming together as an invitation to the gospel of Jesus Christ? How am I moving towards being a wonderful invitation to the gospel? Where are you aware of your journey of pursuing both faith and good deeds? Today, as we finish the service, I just want to, you may have seen this at the table as you came in. I just want to walk through it with you if you have one. It's great to think about what God has told us in Scripture, to increase our knowledge. And it's even more wonderful to say, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord. And so as you look at this little handout, the purpose of it is to consider your faith and good deeds. The first box says, I presently serve at Bonavista, and just pop your name and where you serve. I want to say that service is not always about position. Some people serve without ever having a position. And positions are something that we also use in the church. The second box says, I want to know more about serving at Bonavista. Maybe you're thinking, I would love to be involved in something. but I don't know where to start, who to ask, where to go to. Just pop your name in there. The third box says, I would be interested in attending a workshop to understand a little bit more about what it means to serve at Bonavista. Again, pop your name in there and your contact info. And the final one is a little bit more specific. I would like to explore serving in the following areas of need at Bonavista. So this bottom box is telling you we need people to serve in children's ministry, youth ministry, prayer ministry, hospitality ministry, ushers, greeters, coffee, welcome center, small group leaders, life group hosts. There's a myriad of places where we can serve God here. And this is just a little tool. It's nothing sacred. It's just a little tool. So I encourage you to take a few moments before you leave today. Fill this out, and there's a basket on the right-hand side as you leave that you can just drop this into, and someone will be in touch with you. Communication is hard at the best of times, and COVID has challenged us even more. So this is a little tangible tool. And for those of you online, I do apologize. I did not think about online. But I encourage you, if any of these things, or even just you remember, I want to do something, will you just call the church office? And someone will speak with you. God has created us. He has invited us into a personal relationship with Him. He has commissioned us with the greatest work on earth that will last for eternity. And He has anointed us with the power and the presence of His precious Holy Spirit to accomplish all that He asks us. Will you pray with me? Father, this is not a new message. And yet we live in different times, we live in different contexts than we have. We are faced with challenges we haven't faced before. And so, Father, I ask that you would enlighten my heart and my mind. God, what are you asking me to do, to be for you here at Bonavista? Father, for each of us, whether online or in person, what are you asking each one of us? Oh God, give us hearts that just long after you. And Father, give us courage to say, yes, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence and for all that you have given us. In thy precious name, I pray. And from Hebrews 12, the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him.